Never with these shows, Dr. Fred Bell, Health Science and Energy Show with Buddy Boo and Steve Barish, my two hostages. And that was Michael Hamilton, ex-Kenny Loggins guitar player on the Voyager album. So it is October 21st, 2010. We got a lot of goblins running around here. How about you, Steve? How are you doing, man?
Pretty good. I was down in Philadelphia this week, yesterday, so my uncle passed away, so we buried him, and I came back today, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you have a little fun down there after the funeral, or what? Or were you in a bed?
We went down there and drove down. It's 340 miles one way. We went to the funeral, we went to the house for a little breakfast, and then just turned around and came right back.
Oh, cool. So are you on your cell phone today or what?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can't see Buddy Boo or anything then?
No, I'm in my car. I should be home in about 10 minutes, and I'll make the connection again. I'll turn everything on.
Yeah, so what car are you in? The new one?
I'm in 2011 Camry. It's really great.
Yeah, it sounds like you should have a TV camera in there. We just do shows out of that.
Be great to do that. I'll tell you, it's really smooth. It's just, it's incredible. I still have a quarter of a tank of gas from coming back from Philadelphia.
So it'd take you an hour each way to get down and back?
It's about 5.5 hours.
So you're not really opening the thing up to 100, 140 miles an hour then?
No. I'd like to take a little faster than, we get it up to like 72, but.
Oh, man, that's the speed of my driveway out here in California.
Yeah. No, I can't do much more than that. The cops are all over the place.
And you don't have a cop detector. We got the new cop detector. It can smell a cop's badge from 2 miles.
Who's got one of those? Do you have one?
Yeah, it was a cop detector. It's a new product.
Really?
Yeah. So anyhow, what's been happening?
Nothing much. Just doing a lot of energy work. I had a phone call from a guy in Maryland, and his mother really got hurt, and they put her in a coma.
Oh, yeah, they induced it?
Yeah.
Yeah, they give her drugs. Yeah, they have comatose
drugs.
Yeah, exactly. I understand.
And, right. And so I brought her out of the coma.
Yeah.
And I hired a nurse to watch her. And she had two jobs, one at night watching her and one during the day. So she couldn't take the flailing around, and she gave her a sedative.
Right.
Put her out again.
Yeah.
So then he called me back, and said, I'd like to, like for you to help me again. I said, sure. And at that time, my friend, the shaman, I said, let's bring this woman out of a coma. She, you know, she's back in a coma again. So we did, and she was talking, and her eyes were moving around. And so we're doing some fantastic work up here.
But what kind of an accident was it anyway?
I'm not sure. I don't really remember. I guess the death of my uncle sort of shook me up, but he might call you tonight and talk about it. I'm just not sure if he will or not, but he said he wanted to tell you what had happened, and so he might call you.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that would be good. Somebody was calling at the beginning of the show, but I don't know what happened to them, you know?
But it could very well have been him.
Yeah.
But it's a lot of fun. What I saw was, I saw where she had her problem, and it was black. And I just focused on it and turned the inside of her head and her brain white, pure white light. And he called the next day, and he said, you know, her eyes are open, and if she didn't have the tube in her mouth, she'd be talking.
Yeah, it's hard to talk with
her. That was the first time. And then, of course, we did it a second time. My friend was with me, so we did it with her. And it's always good to help people.
Yeah. You don't know whose fault the accident was, huh?
I really don't remember, Fred. It's been a week and a half, I think, or something like that.
Yeah, because an accident always occurs when two people reach a certain zero point in the universe of
uh-huh.
no consciousness at all.
Uh-huh.
And they're starting to go out of dimension, and so then they collide and bring themselves back into dimension.
Ah.
That's what accidents are. Or you could be like on a ladder and go to zero point energy and at the doorway and then forget that you're on the ladder and fall off. You know what I mean?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, there's a lot of ways to invoke an accident, but it's an invocable principle that happens.
Yeah.
And depending on your consciousness, because, you know, we think that we have a continuity of consciousness. That's what everybody feels because our attention spans are so short. You follow me? But if you were to speed up an observation camera a million times, you would see that 1 minute we're here, the next minute you would see on the same camera on the frame that you wouldn't see the person, they'd be gone. The next minute would be here again. And it's that oscillation that between being here and not being here that creates what they call the life force. You follow me?
Right.
Yeah, and as a result of that, when that frequency pattern gets interrupted, you're out more than you're in for a moment, and then you have your accident. Sounded like somebody was on the phone there. I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
Is there a caller out there?
Oh. Yeah, we did. I said, hello.
It's not. So anyway, that's what accidents are. And and then there's a karma that goes with it, too. That in past lives you have a rhythm that we have set up. Usually at our point where we leave this world and go to the next, and that makes that makes a big imprint because that's a real, you know, experience for the soul to switch dimensions like that. And so that becomes a waypoint that the accidents would be determined by, these waypoints. But terrestrial science hasn't grasp that. It's only grasped it through physics. Yeah.
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Hello? Yes.
Hello? Oh, good.
Hi.
I hope I'm not interrupting, but I tried calling about 10 minutes ago, and I got kind of put on a place where I could hear you, but apparently you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, that's the special place that we put people.
Oh,
well,
it was a different plane of existence, I think.
Yeah.
But that was me, the guy from Maryland you were talking about, that story with Steve Barish, and that was one of the most remarkable things I ever saw.
What was that?
When he, my mother fell down the steps and went into a coma.
Yeah.
For 2 weeks. And I called him up, actually, about something else. And I mentioned that, you know, I was...
Right, nuclear receptor, yes.
I was getting into this technology because, you know, my mother, I had to find a way to help my mother recover from her coma. And then
we
kept talking, and then he said, you know, for the last 5 minutes, I have channeled through you to her, and I am viewing her down to the molecular level. I said, oh, my God. That's it. And I did want to find out more about that because that's just amazing. But he helped her. Maybe he could expand on what he did, but I don't know exactly what it was. But I could feel the energy. I could kind of feel the energy like tingling inside me. He said it was sending it through me to her, and we did that twice, and the second, I guess right after the first time, they put her under a sedative, so I didn't see
any change.
They
usually do that. Yeah, they put her on
the second time, then the very next day, she, like, woke up after 2 weeks being in a deep coma, and she's talking some now, and it's remarkable. It's one of the most fantastic things I've ever seen, and when I see people like Steve Barish, I tell you, it gives me hope and humanity. I think there's hope for humanity when I see people like that. That's just an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Yeah, that's true. When did your mother talk to you about where she was during that comatose period?
No, well, not really. She talks only a little bit right now.
Yeah.
I did find out a few things, but she said she didn't remember falling.
That's what I was talking about before you called. It's the way the human vibrates in and out of consciousness. When that vibratory rate slows down, then it takes a couple steps. Instead of going stepping in, stepping out, it takes two or three steps out. Now you're getting set up for
something. There with her, and everyone was like really worried, very worried, because she was 2 weeks. I tell you something, they came to me, the head doctor came to me, and he said, you know, well, it looks like she's not going to wake up. You have to think about if you want to keep her alive or not.
Oh, yeah.
I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, it was like a death panel.
Yeah, but it's not death. It's just the doctors not understanding the consciousness of the situation.
Yeah, we had a lot of us.
Yeah,
we were really,
he came in.
Very worried about it. And I've been using this receptor with her.
Yeah.
Of course, I can't leave it there because it would get stolen there. I'm trying to get her home. You know.
Yeah, we use those at the feeders of Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles, a world-acclaimed hospital. We've used all our stuff up there at various times, you know.
Is that right?
Yeah, we have. They have accepted our work. We haven't done anything there in a while, but we've done some life and death stuff up there in the past. Yeah, we have.
Yeah. Well, she's not in a life-and-death situation now.
Oh, no, and I'm sure she's recovered a couple of weeks to get her body healing trip going. And what were what kind of injuries did she have? Was it a concussion or what?
Well, she surprisingly, the doctors didn't see any major injuries.
Yeah, then she had a concussion, yeah.
But she did hit her head.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
I didn't tell Steve anything about what happened. He told me what happened. And he said, she got hit on the right side of her head, and that's a severe head blow, and the left side is okay, and that's exactly what had happened.
Yeah, the right side is your motor control and all that, so temporarily the motor function shut down. That's why she went into the coma.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping I can really get into this technology more and use it for her to bring her, you know, restore her fully. And I've been looking into that QBAM project. I know you said
that QBAM is coming right along. That's pretty heavy stuff. Yeah.
Well, I'm the guy you've been, you know, I don't want to say my last name, but I'm the guy that you've been sending those materials to about the QBAM project.
Yeah, I've sent it to a bunch of people, but...
I'm the one in Gaithersburg.
I remember speaking to you. Matter of fact, my engineer is going to be trying to get a hold of you probably tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool, because I've been looking for, you know, more stuff. I've gone through all the stuff you gave me, and I wanted to ask Steve. Steve is like the living embodiment of QBAM.
Yeah, he is.
Utterly astounding.
Yeah. Well, you got to understand, every scientific thing that comes out, whether it's a spaceship, a car, a roller skate, is based on some human functionality that goes on within our psyche or our physical network, and that's. We're limited by that, but that's okay, because if it's true that we are a godlike network ourselves, and we are an imitation of the universe, then everything is possible anyway. And so
Could you talk a little bit about how you're able to see, you know, down to the molecular level?
Well,
is it through your eyes or what?
I look through my third eye. And I can see in the body as clear as I'm looking at somebody on my table doing a massage. So I don't know how God does that for me, or how he even, whatever happens, it just happens. The way I look at it is this. I have a gift. I let everything go, and I use it to my best ability and try to help people with a lot of love and compassion. So what I do is that when I'm looking at, I look, if a person's on a table, let's say, or your mother, I'm looking under her bed, I'm looking above her bed, I'm looking at the energy around her, I'm looking at the molecular structure, the atomic structure, I'm looking at the blood, I'm looking at everything at one time.
Wow, that's just
in other
amazing.
Words, it's just not one thing. It's just everything is being realigned. I mean, I don't know how I do it. I just don't know how I do it, but God gives me the strength to do it, and that's what I do.
Well,
you know,
God's gift to humanity.
I'm just a lowly person, just like anybody else. I'm nobody special. I'm just Steve Barish. That's all I am.
The old ex-hot rodder.
You're a hot rodder.
Yeah, he was.
Right,
fast
Camrys.
Yeah. Well, he has a
Camry
Cobra
or
too.
I've got a 427 Cobra, so.
Oh.
I've always loved fast cars. I had a 62 Chevy 409, and I had a 64 Triumph. But Fred has some very serious cars.
Yeah, I just bought a 58 Chevy show car Impala, super sport. It's a show car. Listen, if you want to study this phenomenon that we're talking about, look up Charles Ledbetter and Annie Besant, Besant, and Charles Ledbetter. They were what Steve does is called in the metaphysical science. PSI viewing. And what they did is they established the atomic weight of hydrogen and oxygen and the molecular structure of all these elements at the turn of the century, and it wasn't until 20 years later that this was confirmed. They did it by micro-psi viewing. Today...
What was the other name? Charles Ledbetter, and who was the other one?
Annie Besant, B-E-S-A-N-T. Yeah.
B-S-A-N-T.
I wrote about him in my book, The Inside Track. And
all right, well... Great. I don't want to keep you, but I did have one question.
Yeah,
other than that,
here. We're fine.
Was one more question, if you don't mind?
Yeah, don't mind.
You thought of making putting together a quantum time machine?
Yeah, I have. I actually have done some work along those lines. In my book, The Rays of Truth, Crystals of Light. I don't know if you've seen that book. Did I send you that?
No, I don't have it yet.
Okay.
I'll be getting it soon. I'll be ordering it soon.
Well, you don't. If you're going to be working with us like I think you are, we're going to just give you this stuff because you're going to need some reference material.
Well, I'd appreciate it if you could send it out right away then.
Yeah, I will. And so anyway, then along comes after, after that, then quantum physics is established. Right around the turn of the century, just after Besant and Ledbetter's time, by Max Planck, the father of it, and then after quantum mechanics is established, then comes the string theory that my friend Leonard up north and Michio Kaku, Leonard Susskind, a friend of mine, and have postulated, which is getting, they'll probably all get Nobel Peace Prizes from it, but in the string theory, it lays out the mechanics of the psi, PSI, the way it works,
really?
And it relates it to Planck length, which, of course, is the smallest.
Max Planck, yeah.
You there, Steve?
Yeah, I something happened. Everything disconnected.
Yeah, I think we lose John too. I guess he's not on there anymore.
Really? Okay.
Anyway,
he seems to be a
Huh?
He seems to be a very nice person.
Yeah, he is. He's really cool. I've been working with him. If you're listening, John, call back in. And we were talking about what product we were talking about. We're covering so much ground that...
Well, he had bought a nuclear receptor, so...
Yeah, the nuclear receptor is probably what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Oh, the two-band machine. Okay. Yeah, that
machine.
Yeah, this one. Hang on a second. Let me answer this guy on the TV side.
Sure.
Q-band machine is a quantum biological administration machine. If you want information on it, email me at fredbell@pyridine.com and I'll send you out some emails on it. It's a little bit involved to explain right now. And by the way, we just got the new antenna. You know, the SPDC, the spontaneous down conversion unit that Estonia used, the big projector, but sideways.
Cool.
You know,
yes.
Like a special modification. Well, we just got one in today, and so we're very close to assembling the Q-band machine. Now, it's possible that people with this Q-band machine can experience personal time travel. You know, looking now at the physics of it and seeing it come together with some of the stuff. Oh yeah, we've got working systems here. We got a 10 gigahertz transmitter that can transmit up to 1 watt into your central nervous system of right frequencies and other things. Plus this other thing, it can actually quantumly remove you from your present situation and situate you into another dimension, and that's this is, you know, when you're doing a healing machine, you know, the body has to heal itself, and you're creating a space for the body to heal itself in. What we're seeing with the Q-band machine is it can do more than that. What happens when you put a healthy person in that doesn't need a bunch of adjustments? Now you can adjust the system up. Oh, you got to see this thing. It's microwave.
Wow.
Oh, it's scalar waves, it's all of it, sound, and when this thing comes on, it can transform you. I don't think we could do a teleportation with it, but it's using the physics of Alan Elaine's experiment, where he changed the polarity of two photons going in the opposite directions at the speed of light, which is theoretically twice the speed of the light from the source where they started, and he...
Right.
Which then put, you know, the general theory of relativity out in the bushes, and Einstein admitted to that with with spooky action in the distance. So we're having some real weird stuff going on around here right now. You wouldn't believe it, you know. I'm
really?
Telling you, we got this thing upstairs in the guest house, this is machine, and it ain't like, it's something like out of a sci-fi movie, and then we ain't done with it. But it's starting.
Wow.
We've been working on it now for a year, and it's coming together. And it's a little bit more than we thought we were. We didn't bargain for all what we're getting. You know, some people look at, will this work or will it fail? Well, all
right,
it's going to work. But not only does it work, it does things that we don't know about. And that's the fun
right.
of it. And we're just getting into the activation of the FPDC converter, which is three lasers firing into a crystal, which fires over into, it creates an FPDC field that then goes into a instantaneous quantum element through the big projector, and then it projects that right into your aura.
Wow.
I mean, this is some cool stuff.
That is some cool stuff.
Oh, it's out there. This is the first time on the show we've really talked about it. And now we'll do a show one day, and I'll show it on the camera. I'll put it in the camera, or I'll video it or something. But this is a badass machine, baby. There's
really?
Nothing on
that
the market.
Sounds cool.
There's nothing on the market that does what this thing can do. And we're just got bits. We just got bits, and we can do an EKG reading from a distance with this thing. You know?
Right.
Oh, yeah, we can do your heart rate, everything. That's just the mechanics of tuning the system into your body. Beyond that, it's psychedelic, you know, and there's no drugs involved. The bird likes it. Yeah, the bird's waking up now. You
want to
go run that machine. Yeah, see, we're building it right now. That's why I haven't been going anywhere. I'm just working on it. This is really a trip. I'm having a blast with this new machine. You know, and it's not done. But as we get closer to what it can do, you know what it's like, the receptor and the projector? We didn't know what the receptor does, and you just brought a woman back to life with it, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And the guy that was just calling in, he's going to be working on some of the programming for the Rife frequencies for different viruses and stuff. He's a programmer. He's
really
good. So
sounds
you
like
know,
he knows his stuff.
Yeah.
Sounds like he really knows his stuff.
Yeah.
He just, when I talked to him before, he sounded like a guy that really knew what he was doing.
Well, if you saw his resume, he worked for the government. And he's done a lot of he's got a resume that'll floor you. I mean.
Really?
Yeah, it's a very impressive resume. He's a college grad. He's got a very impressive resume. Yeah, I mean, he's working in the field.
Huh.
And the guy, and check this out, the guy I bought that 58 Chevy from.
Oh, yeah?
He was an Air Force pilot. He was out of my squadron at Beale Air Force Base. We were both at Beale.
Really?
And he flew KC-133 tankers to refuel the SR-71 Blackbird, the spy plane.
Wow.
Yeah, and now he's a dentist. But, I mean, that's how I got that 58 Chevy, through that connection, you know?
Yeah.
The guy was in my squadron.
Yeah. That's incredible.
Yeah. It's a small world out there when you start, you know, wheeling and dealing.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking at
sounds
a 31 Ford a guy wants to trade me, you know.
Really?
Yeah. And it's painted plain.
31,
painted
huh?
In the brown and the cream, the Gatsby colors. I haven't seen it yet, but he's one of my platers. He works, you know, he's one of my suppliers. And we like his trading. You know, I didn't even want a 31 Ford, but I think Mikel would like that, you know?
Oh, that's a cool car.
Oh, yeah. I haven't
cool
seen
car.
It.
Cool car. That's really a cool car.
I don't know if he's got a Chevy in it or it's got an old flat in it. I have no idea, but he described what it looked like, and I just can't wait to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be fun to have.
Yeah. So anyhow, now that, you know, that now it's coming out that you do this micro-psi work, you know, which is what it's really called. I think the guy that was calling in, he's real impressed. I guess you saw his mom, right? Or did something for her.
Well, he was asking me questions.
Did you do it remotely?
Pardon?
Did you do it by remote viewing, or did you actually go there?
I was actually there in her mind.
Okay.
So it's not remote viewing. I don't know if I remote view or not, Fred. I know what it is that I...
Yeah, I understand. It's quantum entanglement. You entangle yourself into your aura. That's how you were able to say that she got hit on the right-hand side and do all that stuff, you know, because you entangled with her. Were you wearing your receptor when you did that or your projector?
I was wearing both.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you had a double load.
Both. Yeah, I sort of, you know, I do a lot of different things, you know.
I know, it's fun, isn't it?
It's a lot of fun, Fred. It's really a lot of fun.
We got a lot of listeners on this show, and they're all over the world. And I think that because you know we do repeat ourselves a lot, we do talk about products a lot, but we're not trying to sell the products. We're talking about them because of what they do, and we're sharing what they do and what they've done with the world, and that's the fun part of this.
Well, the big part about it is, Fred, that people need to trust themselves, and they need to trust your product. You know, so It's a double blade there. I mean, it's just something that they should really do because I remember meeting you for the first time. I mean, you walked up to me within 500 people in a room, and you walked right up to me and said, this necklace would be good for you. And the place was packed. I mean, it was standing room only. And you walked right up and said, this necklace would be good for you. So you must have seen something within me. I think we've known each other for a lot of lives, Fred.
Yeah. Yeah. We
I have a feeling.
You know, that's what we do. We're sensitive. I just had a question here on the internet. I'm just going to say no. The Pirlo is a completely different formula than the Excalibur because people are looking at the website right now.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. You take all those products, right? You do the Pirlo, don't you?
Yeah.
I know you.
I've got pyramid. I've got pyramids. I have pyramids on my water. I got pyramids that I wear. I got two silver pyramids. I got a gold pyramid. I got a 10-foot pyramid over my bed. I got flamethrowers in my office. I got projectors in my office. I've got a master quartz crystal in my office. I use a lot of your products. I mean, I just use them. And I believe in them. I mean, they really work. I'm not trying to sell anything. I'm just telling people
just
that these things really work.
Do. That's the
Absolutely.
Same I am. And we got new stuff coming down the pike, you know, and it's like, wow. This QBAM thing, using what some of the things that you have and extending them and then adding in the electronic age, you know, the technology of Tesla and some other people that you wouldn't know their names, and then bringing in the physics of the you know string theory, and Max Planck's ideas about Planck length and Planck frequencies that we use, and then using Rife stuff, but taking Wilhelm Rife stuff to a new level, and then transmitting it not through a probe but through an actual microwave converter. At over 10 gigahertz into your body. I mean, it's really cool.
Well, I'm always, when I play with those flamethrowers or I play with my projector or I'm playing with my nuclear receptor, I'm always doing something different. I'm always playing with them. It's never the same. It's just pure. It's pure energy and it's fun to do. But it's hard to tell people that. Unless they have a projector or a nuclear receptor and, you know, and they can play with them. And then that's when things start to happen. It's not what you sell that really, is important. What's important is what you can do with it after you buy it.
Exactly.
That's
the other thing is the new moon, full moon, planetary position. All these are quantumly entangled with the way these things work. Because remember, the receptor is a Pleiadian device, and the projector is an Andromeda device. And these guys can cross space and time in seconds. You know, what would take us years to do, they can do it in seconds. And that technology is wrapped up in this equipment, you know. So it's kind of hidden, I should say, in it, but it's there.
It's
amazing, yeah.
I just think your tools, you know, your tools... They help, Fred. They really, really do work. It's the people, once they buy the tools, I think the tools can help them get in touch with more, but it's the mind. Once the mind gets a hold of these tools, and it presses them further. I mean, you know, it's really important that people understand that it's not, the nuclear receptor is very powerful. It's extremely, extremely powerful. The projector is extremely powerful, especially the platinum projector. But it's not what you say that it does. It's what people are doing with them after they get them that promotes it even more.
Yeah, that's the same thing with a QBAM, exactly, right.
Right. So in other words, you take somebody that takes the projector and you let it work, and then you go further with it. I mean, I think I told you the first time I wore the projector, I went through the projector and I came out the other side. And, you know, I'm already playing with it. I'm playing with the diamonds. I'm playing with the projector. I'm playing with a nuclear receptor. I'm doing things that I can't really talk about on the radio because I got to talk to you about it before I even talk, you know, to the public about it. But there's things that you can do with these things that are way far advanced of, it goes forever, Fred. It's never ending.
Yeah.
Never ending.
That's why with the projector, when you look at it, and, you know, I can actually bring up, I've got one right here people can look at. I don't have the SPDC one, but I'm putting it up on the air here so people can see it. Mm-hmm. If you look at the pattern on this, it has an infinity pattern. And that's exactly what it does. Trying to get it, and it crosses over it. I don't know if you can see it here. It crosses over right there. And on the back side of it, it has the Yonan Mantram, which you can see better, which cancels out all microwave frequencies. For example, when we're using microwave frequencies, like 10 gigahertz with, you know, modulated at right frequencies, it's coming up to one of these devices. And so, therefore, anything that's not harmonious to the human body is eradicated. It can't happen because this is a filter system on the back. You know, it's really interesting when you start putting the proper microwave frequencies in these things. It's like, you know, you're putting the sun into it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's really amazing how they start to work that way.
Well, you're
just building this QBAM.
It's absolutely incredible. I love where... You know, I think everybody that has a projector, everybody that has a nuclear receptor, I think they're all having different things. I just think it's just not happening to me, but it's happening to everybody on their own levels, no matter where they're at, no matter what's happening. People that are wearing them, they're changing things. They're making things work, and that's really important.
Yeah,
it's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I think that we have the power to do anything that we want to do. And, you know, the projectors, the receptors, the nuclear receptors, the new devices, there's no limit. There's absolutely no limit. It's just take it and run. You know, do whatever you want to do. You know, play with them. Just make them work differently. Just do things that can create your mind to really get in there and change things, change the world, change, you know, get in contact with the universe. I was looking at an angel. I had a client in my room, Monday?
Yeah.
And there was a giant angel in my room. The only thing I saw were the wings. The wings were absolutely gorgeous. The upper part of the wings, the bottom part of the wings, the face and the body were transparent. I couldn't see him.
Yeah.
Couldn't see him, Fred. But the angel must have been extremely high. And this woman could just feel this angel just all over her. And so I just let the angel go to town. You know, you get out of the way. But
that's what angels do. You know, they have to work. That sounds like a sephiroth, you know, in the Hebrew philosophy of things, because... You know, there's that honeybee angel that becomes the pituitary gland of that honeybee angel is the queen bee, and that angel spreads out its wings around a beehive, and then you see all the, if you do a time-lapse photography with a camera above the beehive, you'll see over a period of time, you'll see the shape of the angel formed by the bees flying.
Right.
That in Hamburg, you know, at the University of Hamburg years ago. And that wasn't, they're not Sephiroth angels. The Sephiroth are, there's like the five faces of the, there's like five, seven angels that gaze into the face of God that no one can see.
Right.
You know, you don't see God. Yeah, I haven't seen him lately. Unless I looked in the mirror, maybe I saw him there, and there wasn't a kind of a deformed one. But I mean, so the Sephiroth are the upper angel class. You know, the upper, they're up in the, like the big seven, you know. So you might, and they do minuscule jobs. Like for them, if they're looking at God and there's only seven of them and they come down and do a healing on somebody and you witness it, that's a divine blessing, you know.
Right. So I, you know, I see these things all the time, and it's really, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, it's wonderful to have these people being healed constantly. It's just wonderful. So I'm having fun with them. But
are you close to home now?
Oh, I'm here, Fred. I'm here.
Is that why we had the phone drop out? You're in your house now, or what?
Well, I'm calling on my cell phone. But I'm just trying to get this thing clear here. I don't know why I'm having trouble.
What's that? Get your phone going or what?
I think something happened here. I'm just not sure exactly. Oh, there it goes. Okay, now I'm going to get you on here.
Oh, you're doing the computer now.
Yeah, I'm doing the computer. I want to be able to see you and that little sweet bird.
Yeah, Buddy Boo.
Oh, here we go. Paradigm. Here we go.
You can go to Paradigm and go to bbsradio.com.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
There you go. I don't know what kind of hat that is. That's a different kind of hat.
That's what you call a Indiana Jones hat.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, I'm being Indiana Jones today. I still have a hat collection. Usually I wear my Skunk Works hats, but I've got about 50 hats in there, and I've got to start wearing more hats, you know.
Really?
Put more energy out. I've got a couple. I got another one. I've got a Pandora. Here it is. I think it's right here. Yeah, it's right up here. I've got a real Pandora. If I want to do Indiana Jones Pandora, okay.
Yeah.
Yes, watch this. Check this out.
Okay.
Yeah, there we go. Is that good?
Holy mackerel. Yeah, you got an Indiana Jones hat.
Yeah, I've got a couple. The one I had on was, but this is the, you know, I put my glasses on and, you know, wherever they went.
Hey, that's cool, Fred.
Got to do this stuff, you know. I got to be, I've had a sunglass to be better. I'm Indiana
You're
Jones.
You're very.
I got my whip, too, but I got my whip over in my other house. I got to go get the whip.
Yeah.
Yeah, Buddy likes the Indiana Jones hat. But anyway.
That's cool.
I got to wear it kind of like Indiana Jones does, though. Like, there we go.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Next thing I know, Harrison Ford will show up. You know, and then...
She'll
be over here with his wife.
That bird is so beautiful.
I wear this hat because, Harrison Ford might come over and grab it from me. You know what I mean? Harrison said I can only wear this occasionally. So there it is, Indiana Jones. So I got two of them. This other one is Western look, but then I got other hats. You know, I got a lot of hats.
Yeah.
There's nothing more cool than wearing an old hat.
Yeah.
Do you have a lot of hats?
Yeah, I've got. I don't know how many I have, but I've got a lot of hats. I even have I got a lot of old newspaper boy hats.
Oh, those are good. Yeah.
I love those.
I used to take newspapers and make hats. I used to make ship hats and stuff with newspapers.
Yeah.
You do that? That pirate's hats and all that? Those are fun.
I've got, let me see, I have a New York Yankees hat. I got a Phillies hat that has the World Series on it.
Wow.
And I got some nice baseballs. I got a Mickey Mantle ball. I've got a Yogi Berra ball. I got some balls here, you know, with...
Well, you got signed baseballs.
Yes.
Oh, those are cool.
Yeah, so,
Get a Yogi Berra. That's a hard ball to get.
Well, yeah, I got a Mickey Mantle bowl. I got it at the Baseball Hall of Fame years ago.
Wow.
And
I think worth a fortune.
Yeah, I think I paid $40 for it, so.
Probably worth $4,000 now.
Could be.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah, I bet it is.
Yeah, but anyhow, I just sort of enjoy my stuff like you do, you know. I remember when I came to visit you, you know, you had all those beautiful motorcycles in your garage. That was really a lot of fun.
I got another one. I just finished another one. Remember that Honda that I had when I was 18?
Yes.
It's in the garage. I rode it the other day. It's done. It's been restored.
Cool.
Now I'm restoring
a
58 Pirelli called a Fano. Yeah.
Wow.
It's not started yet. Well, I'm getting parts for it now, but yeah, we're doing that.
Yeah. How'd you know that I had a girlfriend?
Oh, I'm psychic.
Yes, you are. Yes,
I know. I know. I can always tell that when there's a little liveliness to your step. I can pick that up in the stress analysis in a person's voice.
I can't. You know, I can't hide anything from you. You know all kinds of good stuff.
Yeah, I do. I know what's going on. I don't know all those things, but you know, I've learned how to really tune into things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, sort of. You know, I've done it for the government, so I can do it for myself.
Yeah.
They don't have a hold on me that way, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we're out of time.
Yes.
5:55. And so put your phone number out, and then we're going to get out of here.
Yeah. My phone number is 585-746-8321. Thank you, Fred.
Yeah, repeat it one more time, because Buddy squawked when you did that. He wanted the apple juice. Here.
Yeah. 585-746-8321.
My number is 1-800-729-2603. And you've been listening to Dr. Fredbell's Health Science and Energy Show, interrupted occasionally by my sidekick, Buddy Boo. And we will be back on next week at Thursday, which would be, I don't know, like the 28th or something. And 5 p.m. Pacific. You can go to our website, www.pyridine.com. And until then, we're out of here. I'll talk to you in a bit, Steve. I'm leaving the air.
Take care, buddy.